I thought I would give you some intimate details from my honeymoon.
Okay, let's hear it.
He's about to hand out pictures, isn't he?
So as I told you, I got married November 2nd, but we couldn't take a honeymoon until Christmas vacation because of our work conflicts. And so as you know, here on this station, we go into dry dock in December, and so had plenty of time. And I'm not going to give you a bunch of really intimate details, but where this is going to end up is a lot of bedroom activity that we're going to talk about. So, and we haven't had time to talk about this because we've had Jason Garrett being fired and Mike McCarthy named and NFL playoffs, and we've had the college football championship. We've just had so much going on in the world of sports. So I'm about 2 weeks late with vacation talk. But since we were taking our honeymoon in December, we were faced with the decision, well, do you do what most couples do, go somewhere tropical?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the week before Christmas. We wanted to do something kind of Christmassy, kind of staying with the theme, the holiday theme.
Sure.
So we decided to go to a cold weather environment, something that would be decorated for Christmas, something romantic for a honeymoon. So we chose Paris. Just a 2-hour drive from Dallas. You can stop in Greenville on the way. And the Wildcats had a home JV basketball game. And I got us tickets for that. So I thought this is the perfect honeymoon style.
Yeah, Paris.
No, it was Paris, France. But one thing that as soon as we made plans, one thing that reared its ugly head, one of their many, many strikes happened.
French gonna French.
France is the strikingest country on earth.
Yeah. Who was striking?
Well, this was a transit worker strike. So that affected the subway. They call it the metro. Mm-hmm. That affected all regional trains, regional flights. But also on strike, some police, museum workers, stage performers, and teachers. And the whole country is upset over the newly proposed pension plan by the new president, Macron. And the pension plan was going to require all of the French workers, instead of retiring, I think it was at 62, they now had to work to 65, but for no extra money. Because the pension plan is kind of upside down and the country is struggling a bit financially. So he was asking them to work 3 extra years, but not really get anything extra in terms of retirement, in terms of their pension. So you could understand the French workers were upset.
Sure.
So that kind of put a dent in a lot of our plans. For example, getting around Paris is pretty easy on foot, but man, the metro makes it so much easier. You can go from spot to spot in 10 minutes riding that subway, and it's probably, I think, the underground in London is great, but I think it's the best subway system in the world. The Paris metro is just, the stations are beautiful and it's very efficient. And so we didn't have that. There were only 2 lines running and they were the automated lines. And because the metro wasn't working, traffic was gridlocked everywhere. Now all these people that rode the metro to work are having to drive or take a cab or ride share.
Oh man, so everyone's in a bad mood too.
So everybody's in a bad mood, and you couldn't really take a cab across town because there was surge pricing and they were all booked, or there was huge traffic and it was faster to walk in a lot of cases.
Hey guys, surge pricing.
But you're still in Paris, and so it's the greatest walking city on earth. So it was still great.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to walk all these neighborhoods. We walked a lot. We probably walked 8 to 10 miles a day. But you're walking through Paris and these great side streets. And there are still, the strike didn't affect the bars and the restaurants and the shops. And most of the museums were still open. And there was a great vibe in the city because it was Christmas time. So you had a lot of Christmas lights. You had Christmas markets, which they're really big in Europe, and I've noticed that they've started to pop up in the United States. They're kind of getting big in the Northeast, and we even had a couple here in Dallas. Arlington had a Christmas market this year.
What's a Christmas market?
So that is, it'll be a parking lot or some little area that is turned into this marketplace with all these little huts. You know, it's a little probably 4x6 hut. And one of them is serving Glühwein, the mulled wine. One of them is serving cookies. One of them has Christmas ornaments for sale. Another one has gloves for sale. And it's just a little marketplace that pops up with a Christmas theme.
Okay.
And so all the little huts are decorated. They're playing Christmas music. It's cold. Everybody's in a good mood. They're great. I love them.
Do they have a Pizza Hut?
There may have been a Pizza Hut, actually. Yeah.
Sunglasses Hut.
So we still got to experience the Christmas markets, and all of that was great. And we hit all the big sites, and because we're walking, you know, we had to kind of really plan out our day. And so we said, okay, we'll just stay in this neighborhood today, and we'll hit the Eiffel Tower, and then tomorrow we'll hit Notre Dame. We got to see that after it had burned down, you know, last year. It had was fenced off and had scaffolding all around it.
So you went by and laughed?
Laughed and mocked it. But it didn't look that bad. It's like they had already cleaned out all the burnt bits. And
just stay right bank or left bank?
We stayed left bank.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed very close to Notre Dame. Stayed on the side street, little neighborhood. It was great. The hotel was fantastic.
Just stay in the Rue Claire neighborhood.
We were not in the Rue Claire. We were in the Saint-Germain neighborhood.
Ah, yes.
I love Paris. It's just, it might be the best city on earth for a billion different reasons, but it's just walking the side streets is the number one best thing to do. And I looked and read some of Anthony Bourdain, may he rest in peace, some of his travel tips. And he said the worst thing you can do when you go to Paris is plan to do a lot of things. You need to go there with basically no plan and just walk around and drink a lot and eat a lot and just take in the sights and the slow pace of life and the vibe. And so that's what we tried to do. And one of the best things about going to Paris is the food. There's great food everywhere. Dallas has zero Michelin star restaurants. Paris has over 100 of them. Now, some of that may have to do with Michelin being based in France.
Yes.
But still, you know, New York has Michelin star restaurants, LA, San Francisco, New Orleans, but Dallas doesn't have any.
Do you have some good burgers?
Had some great burgers. And had a couple of really, really great meals. And so we went to some really highly recommended restaurants, and for the first 5 days, they all paid dividends. Everything was great. We just had great meal after great meal, great snack after great snack. And then came my birthday night.
Oh, okay.
And so I said, I really want to go to a Michelin star restaurant. So picked a one-star restaurant, the lowest Michelin star, because I cannot go to three-star Michelin restaurants because I can't pay what they charge. I can't enjoy my meal if I know I'm overpaying for a meal.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the best food ever, but I'll be miserable knowing that I'm paying $100 for this plate. I just can't. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So chose one that was affordable, and it happened to be a 30-second walk from our hotel.
Nice.
So all excited, and it's French traditional food. So we go into this restaurant, sit down. The staff is great.
Welcome, dirty Americans. Please, have a seat.
The chef is buzzing around every table, and he's really friendly, and we're all excited, and we order our meal. Well, they brought out a pre-appetizer.
Pre.
Hmm. Thought an appetizer already was pre.
They brought this out to every single table, and it was a little bowl of soup. This is compliments of the chef. This is our pre-appetizer. It's a chicken liver soup.
Hmm. So serve it to all Americans we don't like.
I noticed everybody was getting it in the restaurant. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't really want to eat a chicken liver soup.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
But when in Rome, or in this case, when in Paris, it's local, and this is a Michelin star restaurant, so I'm going to eat it. So we both ate it. And it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And I kind of finished and I looked at her and she looked at me and said, no, that wasn't that great. So we proceed to eat the rest of the meal. We ordered appetizer, entree, dessert. Well, by the time dessert's rolling around, she's not feeling great. And I can tell she's uncomfortable, but I'm feeling okay. And so I'm thinking, well, I don't know, maybe it's not agreeing with her, whatever. Fast forward 4 hours. Keep in mind, this is my honeymoon and my birthday.
And in Paris, where romance
and
is
in Paris.
The air.
Fast forward 4 hours, and we are both hit with some of the worst food poisoning we have ever experienced.
Oh, no.
Yes!
And you only got one bathroom.
And we've only got one bathroom.
Oh, man.
It's one of those, you have to stand over a hole
and hang. And it hit us differently, so she threw up. I spent the entire night making repeated trips to the bathroom, trying to throw up, but you know I hate throwing up.
Yeah.
I went 27 years without throwing up, and now I've rebooted that streak, and I think it's up to about 9 years where I haven't thrown up. I despise throwing up. So I went in there, but I can't do the finger down the throat thing and make myself throw up.
Can't do that either. Mm-hmm.
So the whole night was miserable, and I also immediately got the chills. So I got every blanket, this super heavy thing, and it's over me, but I'm still shaking uncontrollably. And we're just constantly going to the bathroom and trying to do this
doing
and that
terrible
and whatever.
Things.
And it was horrible. Pretty much totally wiped out our next day.
Oh, don't cheer. Stop cheering.
Now, keep this in mind. As she's purging her system and she's starting to feel a little better, I can't. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going either way.
No.
I'm just feeling awful. And whatever that poison is staying inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Just growing stronger.
24 hours straight, it's growing stronger. And you can't, when you've got food poisoning, you can't eat, you can't drink. You don't want to put anything into your stomach because it's just going to make you feel worse. You don't have a taste for anything. So 24 hours later, the next night, around 2 a.m., I bolt upright in bed and I'm like, uh-oh, it's happening. It's happening. And all I can say is that the next 20 minutes were the most unbelievable 20 minutes I've ever spent on a toilet.
Is that a French record, maybe?
After 10 minutes...
Did you get the hotel record?
After 10 minutes, I start laughing because I can't believe...
You're crying and laughing and screaming all at the same time.
I cannot.
55-gallon barrel drum empties from your inside.
I cannot. I actually told someone that exact figure pretty much. I said, how was I holding 50 gallons
of crude oil?
Of crude oil. By the way, after
spiking crude prices a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't believe it. And so then I get back in bed, and she's sound asleep, and she said the next morning she didn't hear any of it.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
You're kidding me.
Thank you. Thankfully, she gave you that tasteful fiction.
Yeah, she had to be making that up, because the whole San Germain neighborhood had to hear it.
Oh, man.
But yet, while I was laughing and amazed, I was also incredibly happy to get it out of my system, finally.
She was lying in that bed, crying, tears going down her face, wondering... Who did I marry? What is this monster?
Evil just sounds.
I will say we agreed that.
It's like a velociraptor is tearing up a shower curtain in there.
We agreed that misery loved company in this case. It actually probably brought us closer to have to share in this. And there are no barriers. There's one bathroom. You've both got food poisoning.
The veil has fallen.
Yeah, you really get to know each other.
Welcome to married life. Yeah.
So the first 5 days of the honeymoon were spectacular. The final two were waylaid by food poisoning.
Spectacular in a different fashion.
The second day, we did manage to get out, and we went to the Orsay, and we saw a couple of other sites. But we were both really dragging, and we didn't really feel like eating anything for a couple of days. And then that Monday was the day that we went home. And as a buddy of mine pointed out, at least the food poisoning didn't hit you on the plane. Can you imagine how bad that would have been?
Yeah. Could have been worse.
So, Jer, that's happened to you before?
On the plane?
No. I was just agreeing.
Okay, yeah. All right.
All in all, great honeymoon. Great place to go take your honeymoon. Paris is a wonderful city. Just don't eat at that particular restaurant.
Yeah, stay away from the chicken liver soup.
Yeah, that was
the
only
liver
thing
soup
that we ate in common.
Oh, boy. I could have told you right then. You should have texted me. I could have told you. Don't eat anything called chicken liver soup.